to see you all. Why don't we pray and read our Bibles together? God, come to you and we thank you because you are so good and kind and loving, and you give us these moments where we can come together and sing your praises and remember how much we need you and how much we can trust in you no matter what comes and no matter what will come. And now as we open your word and read, I pray, God, that you would speak to us through your word. Help us to hear your voice in what we read in the Bible. You would draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so just go to Matthew 12. I've given up for the time being trying to start sermons in a interesting, here is a funny joke, make you want to listen way. We're going to read Matthew 12. So a little bit of context where we're at, where we're going. It's all one big conversation. It appears to be one big conversation that Jesus is having with the Pharisees, interspersed with some healings and dealing with, you know, teaching and the people. But the theme of this chapter is Jesus and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, are talking and they're having a conversation. Mostly it's a conversation driven by their desire to destroy him, their jealousy for him. Everybody's coming to listen to him, not listening to them. They want to destroy Jesus. And when we just ended the last chapter there, they're trying to stop him from healing because he's healing on the Sabbath. They're saying, okay, well, if you did do that thing that looks like it's from God, it had to have been from the power of the devil. It couldn't have been from the power of God because we know that you're evil and we want to destroy you. Reading a little bit into that, but that's mostly, I think, you can almost find those very words woven throughout the text. And then we take a little pause, and it's in the context of them saying really harsh things to Jesus and trying to destroy him and attacking him. And they're using their words to just, I was going to say to be mean, but it was so much more than that, to take away from him bringing the kingdom of God. They're using their words to do that. And so then we get a little almost, it continues the same flow, but it's almost like a little break. And we get some teaching about words and how important words are and how important the words that we speak are. And it's told to them, but we can easily take what Jesus said to them and just lift it over and apply it to ourselves. And we all speak words. I did a quick scan to make sure. Didn't want to offend anyone who wasn't a speaker. And yeah, we all speak words. So this would apply to all of us. Now, maybe like them, we tend to not think that what we say is that important. Unless I'm the one getting chewed out by my boss, or somebody is angry with me, or someone says a bad word to me, I'm not overly concerned with what people say overall. We think that words, for the most part, are, well, they're not as important as what you do, right? Like if I say I hate you, I don't hate you, but to say I hate you, well, that's not nearly as bad as like just hitting you, right? So it's actions are what's important. It's what we do that is important. So we tend to worry about our words and what we say only to the extent, and maybe you're not this way, but this is, I think, the way I am, and so I'm going to project to everyone else. We worry about our words to the extent that they're going to make us look bad. So I'm worried about what I say because you're going to hear it, and I don't want you to hear something and then think badly about me. You know, you ever see somebody like say a bad word and then look around, and they're not worried about the bad word they said. They're worried about good. Nobody heard me. That's what we're worried about with our words, is who hears us. You're telling somebody some juicy gossip, and then you look over your shoulder and because you think you see the person, you know, walk up behind you that you're talking about. Did they hear it? They didn't hear it? I don't think they heard anything. Okay, just act normal. You've had those thoughts, right? You're looking at me like I'm the only sinner amongst us. That's not nice. We've all done that. We worry about our words to the extent that they make us look bad, and the other people, that will affect our relationships. But we express words that express nasty stuff, or we let our anger and our frustration boil over. We even say, I wish I could just, I would like to, you know, little verbal fantasies about what we would like to, and I wish they got, wouldn't it be nice if they got fired? Wouldn't that just make that person got fired, the rest of our lives would be better. And if you thought of someone right now when I said that, shame on you. And also, that means you live in the real world and work a real job. We say bad words. So when I say words, you know, we immediately go, oh, the four-letter words. Well, of course, they're part of that, but they're a small part of that. So we say bad words. We say things we shouldn't say. And then what do we say? Well, I didn't do anything. I'm just sorry I said that. But the sorry I said that is much different than a sorry I did that. They don't feel that weighty. They're not that important. And Jesus is going to say the exact opposite. And he's going to say something very, very surprising about our words. Our words are incredibly important. That's what he's going to say. So he starts off with this metaphor, with an example. Look at verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For, and then this is a point, the tree is known by its fruit. So this is the best time of year to have this example be put. You guys have gardens? Some of you have gardens? They're dying, right? And so, okay, our tomato plants were late bloomers this year. And so they're in the midst of they're in the throes of just putting out fruit. Not as much as our, but still enough to keep us eating tomatoes every day. It's phenomenal. It's kind of late in the year for them to be putting out fruit. And so some of the tomato plants, they're like green and they're flourishing and there's tons of tomatoes on them. And other ones, their leaves are turning and they're not putting out as many tomatoes. We get this, right? There's if you go out to the garden, there's like a tomato plant with like mold on it and stuff, and it's laying on the ground. We didn't cage some of ours correctly, and so they're kind of laying on the ground. We're getting like two tomatoes out of the whole plant the whole year. It's not phenomenal. Other ones, they're growing in their cages and the plants are healthy and they're doing good. We know that if the plant is good, then the fruit will be good, unless you don't prune it right. That's a whole different thing. But let's just pretend pruning's not an issue. So if a plant's healthy, then the fruit's good. And then you look at a bad plant, you say, well, of course it's not gonna have good fruit. We had a tree in our front yard, actually two. Maybe there's something wrong with our front yard. Two trees died last year. Huh, that's a pattern. Anyway, the tree started its leaves, so you could say, no, it's not its fruit, but just pretend. The leaves started dying and falling off, and they got mold spots on them. And it's like, oh, there's a problem. Not with the leaves, not with the fruit. I know leaves aren't fruit, but again, pretend. Not with the fruit, but there's probably a problem with the tree itself. And in fact, there was. And one, I felt like the He-Man. It was a small tree. I ripped it out almost with one hand. I wish someone had been watching me. I felt so strong. I wasn't, because it was dead. It was a bad tree, and the fruit it was putting out was bad. That's what Jesus is saying. You have a good plant, good fruit, bad plant, bad fruit. So you look at the fruit and you know what's underneath. You know what the tree is. And then he says something very harsh to them, but it's not undeserved, especially if you've been reading this chapter. You brood of vipers. So he's being very clear. You know, sometimes when someone's attacking you and, you know, it's easy to just kind of, well, you know, you're okay, I'm okay. Jesus, no. You're trying to destroy me. I'm the Son of God. You're wicked. You're wicked people. How can you speak good when you are evil? So what is he saying? He's not saying you're speaking good. He's saying you're evil and you've been speaking bad things. He just got finished telling them you spoke the worst words you could possibly speak. You blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. So you're speaking evil things. You're speaking bad things out in front of everybody. Everybody's been seeing this. So why would we expect you to speak good things? Because you're bad. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's the punchline of this text. I know texts don't have punchlines, but if they did, this would be it. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. In that context, what is he saying? Words. He says stuff that's good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. Evil what? Words. He's talking about words, what we say. So he's saying trees, plants, you have something, a good person, then their fruit, as evidenced by what they say, the words that come out of their mouths are good or evil. So what is Jesus saying? Our words are very important, but not for the reason that we think they're important. We tend to put a lot of importance on I'm not saying certain words. Don't say that word. You can say this other word. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks. Won't go into that, but you know. Don't say that four-letter word. This four-letter word is okay. Can I say this? Can I not say this? If I say this in this context, is it okay? We think that the words themselves are what's important. And Jesus is saying, Our words show what's inside of us. They're really, really important, not because of what they are in and of themselves, but because of what they reveal about us, about what is going on inside of us. Our words are important because they reveal what is going on in our hearts, who we are. Our words are like symptoms. So you're sick. I hope you're not, but yesterday I was sneezing. I'm not today, so I think it was just allergies. So, you know, you don't have to sit back for me. I sneezed a couple of times, and every time I sneeze, I'm like, maybe it's COVID. Maybe that's what happened during that time. You know, you learn that every time you sneeze or you get a little, you're like, oh no, I gotta watch that. So yesterday I sneezed. I was like, wait a second. Something's coming out of me that maybe is showing that there's something inside of me, that our words are that. Our words, as they come out of us, Jesus is saying, they show what's going on inside of us. They reveal our heart, the abundance of our heart. Our words are like an overflow. You're filling up a cup of water, and as it gets to the rim and it starts going over, our words are what's going over. Our heart is filled up with good or bad, and what comes out of it, what flows over, our words are what flows out of it. They're not in and of themselves us. They're not in and of themselves. Technically, yes, they are good or bad, but in and of themselves, they're not good or bad. They're showing what's inside of us. I tell you, verse 36, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. That is a verse. Just think about that. My whole life, every time that pops in my mind, I'm like, every careless word. I speak a lot, not necessarily bad words, but a lot of careless words. Give account for every careless word. For by your words, you will be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. So what is he saying? Are our words what condemn us or justify us? Well, how's he gotten to say that? He's saying that we're going to be condemned by our words because they reveal what's in our hearts. So God says, in the day of judgment, I'm going to use your words as a measure to see what's inside of you. He can see our hearts, and our words also reveal our hearts, and God will use them to judge us because they show what's inside of us. What we have in our heart, what's going on inside of us, is incredibly important. It's important. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart, guard your heart, watch your heart, take care of your heart with all diligence. Why? Because for from it flows the springs of life. Our heart is important because out of it flows everything we are. What's in our heart? What's in our heart? It's what we want. Our desires are in our heart. What we love, what we value, that's in our heart. That's why, you know, those little Valentine's Day candies that taste horrible, the little tiny little heart things. And what's the heart and the Valentine? And I love you, and you get it from a person you like, and you're like, and you get it from a person you don't like. Why the heart? It's what we desire, and it's what's important to us. It's what we're looking for, and what we're going towards. It's our love. It's the center of everything that drives us. Our heart is who we are, and what is in our heart, what we desire, and what we value, and what we love, and it becomes who we become, because that's what we're pursuing. I may not have achieved what's in my heart, but whatever I love and whatever I desire, the emotions that I feel, all of that drives me to be the person I'm going to be tomorrow. So guard your heart, because from out of it flows life, because your desires and your emotions and your love is there. And wherever you place that, whatever you place there, that's why God would say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your strength. Because wherever we place our heart, whatever is at the center of our affections, our desires, our emotions, that shows who we are, and it shows where we're going as well. It shows what we're pursuing in life, and that is what is important more than anything. That is what is important to God. So there's a story where Samuel is sent by God to choose a king, because the first king had some issues, and so he's not going to be King Saul. He's not going to be king anymore, the king of God's people. And so God sends Samuel, the prophet, to to anoint the next king, to choose the next successor to the current king. And he goes to the guy's house that God said that one of these guys' sons is going to be king. And so he goes to his house and the sons line up and he sees the first one and he's like, certainly the king. And as the firstborn son, I can appreciate that because the firstborn were the best. And in this case, it was also true as in, you know, if you're firstborn, you know, he looked down the line and it's like the firstborn, he's the tallest, he's the best looking. He looks like a king, even without a crown, he looks like a king. And look at what God said. First Samuel 16, look at verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature. Don't look at all the things that are important, I mean, that are important to you and me, because I've rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart. God looks at what we desire and what we, the emotions we have, what we feel, what drive us, what we desire, what we love. That's what God looks on. Who are you on the inside? That is what is the most important thing. And that's why Jesus says, you'll be judged by that. You'll be judged by your words because they reveal what's going on inside of you. Go over to Luke. Did I reference this? Yeah. Okay. Luke chapter 6. There's a parallel place where Jesus taught the same thing in a different context, but he taught the same thing. Just two verses. I want to read that. Luke 6, 43. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. That seems, I think if we've heard that example before, even today, right? For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, or grapes picked from a bramble bush. And then he makes the same application. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart, the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. And if you stop there, you say, well, that's a principle for everything. I hit you because there's something bad in my heart. Everything that comes out of me is produced by what's in my heart. The treasure that's in my heart, that's overflowing, it's going to be seen in my actions. But Jesus specifically here says, he goes to the same place as he does in the teaching of Matthew. He goes to words. What comes out of that treasure? For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So, that's true. Shouldn't we think about what we say and what that reveals about us? What are the different kinds of things that come out of our mouth? Again, I think we have to talk about that because whenever I say this, things we say in church, we immediately say, oh, I don't say any of the 7 bad words. In fact, my list is like 15 or 20, however long your list of bad words is. This isn't necessarily just about bad words. Think of the different things we say. We say encouraging things. Look good today, Ben. Now, we also say lies. Was that a lie? It wasn't. We say things that are guiding other people. We give guidance. We give instruction. We speak the gospel. That's the power of God comes out of our mouths. We say words that are the gospel. We say dirty jokes, things that have a, you know, second. They're funny because we shouldn't laugh at them because it's, you know, it's, ooh, there's a sexual joke involved with that. We say things that are just vulgar. We say bad words. The one said, you know, if I were to say it right now, you would say, oh, can't preach next week. You don't get to preach here anymore. We say those kind of words. We give correction sometimes with our words. We say, no, don't do that. We gossip about other people, not you and I, other people got, now we're gossiping about them. We gossip about people. We talk about people. We complain. Oh, good grief. That again. We scream and yell. We express our frustration with our words. We lie. We criticize with our words. What do all those words reveal about us? Because we could talk, and I think a lot of times when we're teaching from the Bible, we do. We talk about just lying is bad because lying's bad, and gossip is bad because gossip's bad, and fits of rage are bad because they're bad. But what Jesus is saying is that they're bad. They're bad in and of themselves, but they're bad because they reveal something in our hearts. So what is shown by those words? When we're angry, what is shown by us being angry? Might it be sometimes because we want to control things and I'm not able to control this right now. So I'm speaking words in anger. Or when I speak words of worry, what's really going on in my heart? I'm not trusting God. I don't trust that God has everything in his hand when I'm when I'm frustrated, when I'm not trusting, there's a fundamental, at least, I don't know about you, when you speak words of frustration or worry, I don't know what's in your heart. What's in my heart is that I am not trusting God, but I've had a week to think about this. So, that's why that just rolls off my tongue. I know that I've seen it all week. When I speak words of worry, anger, frustration, it's because in my heart, at a fundamental level, I'm trying to control things and I'm not trusting God. I'm not trusting God for the future. When we lie, what does that show about us? I don't know. Maybe it shows that we're more concerned about what someone thinks of us than what God thinks of us. It's called fear of man. When we complain, what does that show? Many things, but big one, I'm not content. I'm not satisfied with what God has given me. When we gossip, when I come to you and I talk to you about Ben, and remember like that talk we had last week? Again, not true. We've never talked about you, Ben, in a bad way. What does that show? It shows I'm jealous. There's envy in my heart. I'm not happy with me. I'm not happy about him because I'm not happy about me. I'm not happy about what he's given me. When we speak words of impurity or negative words, things that show that we're not like Jesus. And then there's words that we speak that show that there's love in our hearts and there's peace and there's goodness and there's kindness and there's trust in God and there's joy. Our words reveal what's going on in our hearts. And if you say, well, that's like a lot of emotional stuff. Yeah, because our hearts are the center of our emotions. What we desire and what we love comes out of us in emotions as it interacts with life. When I desire and love and then life interacts with that and I can't get what I want and that produces emotions and oversimplification, but then words come out of me. And either happiness and goodness and joy comes out or lack of trust and discontent and complaining comes out of me. What are some of the words? Let's use our words. Let's think for a minute and use our words to inspect our hearts. I was going to do this as an application, but let's just do it together for a minute. Think about the words that come out of your mouth, the words that you know that shouldn't come out of your mouth. And if you say, well, I don't use swear words, not talking about swear words. I mean, I am if you use them, because then that's part of this. But if you don't, there's a lot of words that shouldn't come out of our mouths, right? That I just talked about a lot of them. What are some of the words that come out of your mouth? And if you say, I'm not sure, but okay, then just close your eyes and pretend you're the person who lives with you and ask them that question, just in your head. It's a little game. And you'll know, they'll tell you. I mean, you know, your head will tell you, as if you're them. You know what I'm saying, right? Okay, what are some of the words that come out of your mouth that you know shouldn't be coming out of your mouth? Be honest. Don't say them out loud. You don't have to say it to confess, but be honest to yourself, which is really hard. It's really hard to say, I speak a lot of words in frustration. I shouldn't do that. I mean, it's like, well, I didn't say any swears, so I'm okay. No, a lot of words, whatever the thing is for you. What is that? Do you talk about other people a lot? What are the words? Are you not honest when you, whatever the thing is, be honest. What are the words that you use that you know that you shouldn't use? Don't compare yourself to other people. Don't compare yourself to the person sitting next to you. Say, well, I mean, they speak these other kinds of words. They're much worse than I'm. Just look at yourself in the mirror. And I get to say that because I've been doing this all week long. It's not fun, I know, but I had a week. You have 2 minutes, just for 2 minutes. And then what is the emotion? What's underneath those words? What makes those words come out of you? What's in your heart as it relates to you and God? What's the thing there that's coming? What's the treasure in your heart that's coming out? What's the overflow? What's that abundance in your heart that is overflowing in your words? And I'm guessing 2 minutes isn't enough. So take this home and talk to God about that. Work through that with God. And then as you see words come out of you this week, and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. When you have to apologize for something you said, or you look around to say, did anybody hear me say that? Just take a minute and say, wait, that's revealing something about my heart. What is that? What's the thing in my heart? The words aren't nearly as important as where they're coming from. So what's in my heart? So what should we do with that? Well, if we're honest, I'm guessing if you think about this honestly, you probably end up where I end up, which is like, good night. There's wickedness in me. My words reveal wickedness. I can justify my words. Say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Shouldn't have gotten upset. But there's wickedness in me. If you just look at my words, there's wickedness in us. Our words reveal how bad we are on the inside. When we look at our words, we should feel deep, reverent fear of God, because our words say, I'm not the person that I should be. And if you're not a Christian and you hear that and you're thinking about words you say and you say, yeah, just like everyone else, your words reveal the wickedness that there is in you. And that reveals how much you need the Savior, the very one who said, your words reveal what's in your heart and you're going to be judged for those. He offers you forgiveness for that wickedness. When you come to Him and surrender to Him, when you repent and are baptized and say, Jesus, you will be my Lord, He forgives you, not just for the words that you've spoken and the words you speak, but for the person that you are. And then He transforms that person and He makes you a new person, a child of God. When you say, I want that, I need that. Every time I listen to myself talk from now on, I'm going to know I need that forgiveness. I need that Savior. Tell someone here you can repent, be baptized. One of the men who's been up here today. And for those of us who are Christians, what should we do when we hear ourselves talking and say, oh, yeah, I'm not thankful. I'm not content with what God's given me. I'm trying to control everything and I'm not God. And I'm frustrated because I can't. Whatever the words show about your heart, our words should call us to repent and return to the Savior. In the same way the non-Christians should turn to the Savior, you and I should also turn to the Savior. As we hear ourselves talk, we should turn to the Savior and surrender our heart more and more to Him. As we see the wickedness that is in us, we should also hold on to the person that He's made us, a new person, and say, I want to live more like the person that He's actually made me. I want to love Him more. I want to trust in Him more. I want to be more like Jesus. And so today, as we think about the words we say that we shouldn't say, the things we say that come out of our mouth, and then as you go through this week and you start watching your words and you say, oh, I shouldn't have said that, and that says this about my heart, that should be a call to continual repentance to say, Jesus, I don't want to be like that anymore. You've made me different. I want to be like the person. I want to live out the person that you've made me be. Not just control my words on the outside so people don't think badly of me, but I want to have a heart that overflows with good treasure because I'm remade in your image more and more. And a couple days ago in my devotion, I read this would be a good verse for us to maybe, if you want to, memorize and just have as a prayer that we pray to God this week. Psalm 19, verse 14. And I read this at the end of a chapter. I was like, oh, that's Sunday. I need to hold on to that for Sunday. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, see how it puts them together? That's what grabbed me. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's what we should pray. For those of us who are Christians, our words remind us continually, sometimes, of the grace that we've received in Christ. The grace that we've received, because our words can constantly remind us of how much of the old man lives inside of us and how hard it is to put that person down. Our words remind us of the punishment we deserve. Go back to Matthew 12 again, just one more time. Look at verse 36. Feel the weight of this. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. By your words, you will be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. Read that. Think about the words that we use, the things we say, and we should be overwhelmed with gratitude for the cross, because Christ, the cross, absorbed that condemnation that you and I deserve. And if you are in Christ, if I'm in Christ, We should thank Him. We should thank Him every time we find ourselves complaining or gossiping or lying or saying something we shouldn't say. We should repent. I don't want to be like that anymore, Jesus. And also thank you for absorbing the condemnation that I deserve for those words on the cross. And we should thank Him for that. Not just every time we think of those words, but now as we gather around the Lord's table, we take bread and juice and we remember the cross. We remember that if we're in Christ, we are free from condemnation. As we strive to walk according to the Spirit, God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving, and you give us these moments in which we can delve into through your Spirit, delve into the depths of what's going on inside of us, so that we can not just act like better people, but truly be the person that you've made us, be more and more conformed to your image. So God, we ask, we invite you as we go through this week, through your Spirit to call to our attention the things we speak that show bad treasure in our hearts. Help us to change on the inside. Change us on the inside, because we can't change ourselves. And thank you for the cross. Thank you for the forgiveness you've given us. Thank you for making us your children in spite of how much we deserve condemnation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.